Welcome to Out There with TJ Ryan. It's strange. It's unusual. It's mysterious. It's out there, out there, out there, out there. And now your host, TJ Ryan.
Welcome to another show. This week, her name is Teresa Grigsby. Now, how did I find out about Teresa? Now, she's down. Well, I should say down. From where I'm at, that's considered down on the map, Teresa. She's near Detroit, and I'm in Upper Michigan. So it's a ways away. And how you doing, Teresa?
I'm doing well, thank you.
How long have you been in the Detroit area?
My whole life. Born and raised here.
Really? You like? Mm-hmm. Do you like living in the city like that?
Well, it's what I know. I've been up north, too. I've lived up north for a while. I like it. I like both.
Do you like the hustle and bustle, or do you like the peace and quiet?
I like the balance between the two.
Because you need both of them, don't you?
Somewhat, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, you work at a place down in the Detroit area, and
yes.
You've had this ability, and I don't really know how to, you're kind of like, you told me when we talked before that you're kind of like a spiritual advisor for people,
yes.
Right? So you've had this ability to sense things or pick up on things for how long?
Since I was young. Since I was probably, I think I became more aware of it when I was around 12.
Really? And what kind of things did you become aware of?
Well, the visions that I would see that I didn't understand, and just that I was different, and I didn't quite understand, you know, what I was, who I really was.
Now, when you say visions, what do you mean by visions?
Well, like the first time that I went into a meditation around 12, maybe 13, and I saw myself in a past life. And I really was like, is this real? Am I making this up in my head?
Mm-hmm.
What is this?
Mm-hmm.
But then as I got older and saw how what I saw in that vision tied into my current life, then I said, okay.
And how did it, if you don't mind, how did it tie into it?
Well, in the vision, I saw that I was, it was in the 1800s, I was a child. And there was a woman there who appeared to be my mother and a little baby. And I later realized that there was a fire in that cabin, and I survived it, and the mother and the baby didn't, and the father took off. So I had nobody. And a school friend, who I know in this life, brought me in to her mother's boudoir. I mean, basically, she had a brothel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she ran the brothel. And that, in this life, was my mother.
Wow.
And so you just get little bits and pieces of a puzzle, and eventually it all kind of...
Did this help you in any way, Teresa? I mean, once you realized that, did you have, like, feelings of abandonment, or was there something holding you back that you felt?
Oh, yeah, there was issues of abandonment, and, we carry our garbage with us from one life to the next. When any of our hurts that we have left unresolved, anything that's unresolved in other lives, we bring that with us.
Now, where do you think this vision comes from? How do you draw it in, and where does it come from?
It comes from the Akashic Records, which at the time when I was seeing the visions, I never realized where they came from.
Now, that's the same thing that Edgar Cayce has talked about before,
yes.
Right? Okay. So you're drawing on this, and do you believe it's coming from, like, how do you ask for it?
I just simply ask the question, and I open my mind, and I wait for the answer. I either see it in a visual in my mind, or I hear something.
And you've worked with other people, many other
yeah.
people, and you've helped them look back in their own, in a different time.
Yes.
And now, I'm not going to name any names, and I don't want you to do that neither, because I'm sure people want to be private about it, unless you feel somebody wouldn't mind. But there's a fellow we both know, and this is how I got to know you a little bit. It's funny how, you know, things work, you know, and I really believe this was meant for the two of us to do this, to get the word out there. And this fella I know, and he doesn't strike me as being extremely open, and that's fine. I accept people whatever way they are. They're all wonderful beings, regardless. And he was telling me about an experience he was having with some numbers. And you felt it was a pretty big wake-up call. And what did you tell him?
Oh, boy. You know, like I told you before, the messages come through me. Mm-hmm. And I am not... I'm just a messenger, and I cannot remember.
You don't remember exactly what it was, but the number was, I think he kept seeing 444. And I saw some kind of printout that said that it meant something about guides are around you or they're making contact with you. Do you remember anything like that? You don't remember that exactly, do you?
I honestly don't, because, again, it's not really me that's saying these things. And so if I hold on to everything in every reading, I would be so bogged down.
You'd probably go nuts, wouldn't you? But here's what I just want to say on this to finish this up real quickly, Teresa, and then we'll move on. This individual from another friend of mine told me that he actually, from what you had said, something about the guides, it meant something to do with guides, he actually saw his guides.
He did.
At the foot of his bed one night.
Yes.
It freaked him out a little bit. Yes. So it told me that perhaps what you're telling others, there might be a piece of truth to this. And also, maybe you're doing this for the greater good. I mean, why do you do this, Teresa?
I do this because there are so many people out there with emotional baggage, and they're hurting. And if I can help somebody lift that emotional baggage because they understand where it's coming from and they can release it, then my job is done.
And the reason behind you do that is what?
To heal people. Because if you're healed, then maybe, you know, it brings light into the world instead of dark.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're hurting, you're in a dark place.
Right, absolutely. But would you say, I guess what I'm hinting around at is, would you say that love has anything to do with this?
Love has everything to do with it. Because the bottom line is, all there is love. Mm. There's nothing in between. And, you know, we come here on this earth to try to overcome all our negativity, all the baggage we've brought with us. And it's all about relationships, love and relationships, learning to heal, forgiving, all of those things that is a process for each individual. Everybody has their own thing that they need to work out or work through.
Right, we all do. And so you see it as you're just assisting them so they can move forward.
Yes.
So you believe that we live more than one lifetime?
Absolutely.
Is there a number, or is there no limit? Or
there is no limit. You can come here as little or as often as you feel the need.
Hmm. And some come back right away, and maybe some take their time more?
Yes, yes.
And would you say, because this is what I'm not an expert, but this is what I've heard, that the ones that come back right away, they don't always plan it out real well. And
no, they do not.
They tend to have more problems.
Yes. I actually have a relative that came back very shortly after he died in World War II. And within 10 years, he was back here. And he had a mission that was unrealistic. He was angry when he died, and he came in angry.
Mm.
So once he realized all of that, you know, he was better able to release it.
Yeah, you know, I read that a long time ago, and I think the name of the book was Life Between Life. I don't know if you ever heard of that one, Teresa. It was a psychologist out of Toronto.
Yes, 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 yes. I do. And
he found that you could.
Brian Weiss.
Is that what his name was?
I'm pretty sure.
And he found that, and he did it quite by accident, because he believed you got to regress people back to an early time in their life, and they would remember things and release trauma. Well, he took them back too far by accident. And one fella, I remember the story, I think it was in this book, I could be wrong, but this one fella had pain in his knee, and the doctors looked at it and did everything they could, and he couldn't get rid of it. And then by going back and remembered that in a previous time, his leg was shot off. I mean, he was literally shot off.
Yeah.
Once he realized that, the pain went away. Now, the cool thing about dealing with Teresa, if you were to call her and contact her, you basically can pick this up for somebody else. They don't have to live through that, do they?
No, they do not.
So that's kind of a neat thing. So if I were to just call you from even in Upper Michigan or wherever and talk to you like we did the other night, you can pick up some things, right?
Yes.
Now, how do you go about doing that?
Well, I surround that person in the divine light of God, and I ask for the highest good, and I ask for whatever truth that they need to hear.
Mm.
Then I wait, and you always get an answer.
And is it sometimes negative or something that would be deemed uncomfortable?
Mm-mm, no, I don't. We only ask for the highest good and the highest truth for that person. So I'll give you an example of one.
Okay.
I read this young lady who, when I read her, I could see doctors all around her. I couldn't tell her why, but I kept telling her it would be okay. Whatever you're going to go through, it's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. And she left, and 2 years later, she came back to me, and I didn't remember her. And she said, Teresa, you told me that I was had doctors all around me, and right after I had the reading with you, I went to visit my sister in California, and we were on a boat in the ocean, and it was very choppy, so much so that she got thrown up in the air and slammed down into the chair twice, and she broke her back.
Wow.
So she ended up in California, laying flat on her back for 4 months with doctors all around her.
Mm.
And she was able to heal. But this was there to show her endurance.
Mm. There's always something more to it, isn't there?
If she would have known what she was in for, she would not have gone to California, and she would not have ever learned what she needed to learn through that experience.
So even, I guess, kind of what I was saying is sometimes we think it's a tragedy, but it really, nothing is wasted. There are lessons in all things. We're going to take a break. We're talking to Teresa Grigsby, and we'll continue that in just a moment.
Out there.
I have no idea if I'm the only one that's really interested in reincarnation. I have no idea. Whoever's listening. I've always been interested, even at an early age. I don't know why. Some people would say that you recognize things, and if you do, then you have an early interest in your lifetime, you know, if you're aware of things. Others would say maybe you're just gullible, like my buddy who listens now to my show, or that I'm nutty, maybe. And maybe he's right, you know. I have to take that into consideration. But only in the last 5 years have I really had a great desire. I mean, a really strong desire where I believed I live in the Civil War, and I always thought it was the North. And only in the last couple of years have I had this knowledge or this feeling that it wasn't. And then also, prior to that, I felt, and I've felt this in the last 5 years or so, I was a Native American, and it was in the 1700s, maybe into the early part of the 1800s. I don't know why I feel that way. I just have. And I've been drawn to certain types of Native music and so forth, and things from the Civil War and so forth. You know, I lived in Vicksburg, Mississippi, part of my life back in the 80s. Took a radio job. And a man there wanted to show me the park. He was really excited about this old park, 8 miles. It's an 8-mile park. And it's all about the Civil War. And I had no interest back then. I'm in my 20s, and I just want to have a beer. Party and have fun. But now it's like, you know, you just wonder if things are put in your life to kind of lead you in steps, maybe remind you. So now it starts to add up to me. And what's coming up in this interview with Teresa, who, again, I don't know her, first time I've ever talked to her, but I do like what I'm hearing so far. And she tells me some things about myself, which are things I've heard before. But she had no knowledge about it. So you can judge for yourself. Coming up next week, We're going to have another guest, and this is really not all about me, but I don't have any other guests to I do have a friend of mine that's going to join me. We're going to talk to this woman. She is out of Lower Michigan as well, and she's had this ability that she claims to communicate with spirit since she was 4 years old. So I brought in one of my coworkers, and next week we're going to let her see if she picks up anything that we think could be accurate. And I'm even going to let her, you know, see if there's anything for me. Why not? You know, that's kind of nice. That's the advantage of being the host. You get some stuff for free. But, you know, what I've talked to with about Teresa today, I thought was pretty interesting. I have to label it that way. She seemed to pick up some things, but I don't know for sure. Next week, we'll find out how the next gal does and how she, if she can pick up. Her name is Maggie. And we'll see what Maggie can pick up. So, thanks for listening to Out There. Feel free to get a hold of me, contact me through my shout box, or even leave a comment if you'd like. I don't care what your opinion is, as long as you don't swear. You can express that you don't believe or whatever. I just appreciate you using your noodle, thinking a little bit.
It's out there, out there, out there, out there.
Her name is Teresa Grigsby, and she's from somewhere around the Detroit area, she told me. What is the name of the suburb area you're from?
Redford.
Redford.
Yes.
And also, if you're interested in communicating with her, what is your website?
I don't have a website.
I'm sorry, I mean your email.
My email is Teresa Grigsby, and that's spelled Grigsby, at sbcglobal.net.
Great. And now, if somebody gets a hold of you, do you normally charge to, like, do a reading with them, or how does that work?
Yes, I normally do charge because, Spirit tells me that if you give this away,
right,
that the people that you are trying to help will not take it as seriously
right.
as they would if they were paying for the service.
I understand. So let's say I want to do a reading with you. How much? I just want to give people an idea of what it's going to cost them. I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with people doing that. So let's say TJ said, can I have 30 minutes of your time or whatever is needed?
Yeah, 30 minutes, $30. I can do up to an hour for 50 or 60. It just depends on what kind of time they want and what comes out of the reading and how much time is needed.
How many issues I have.
Yeah, yeah.
That TJ's got a lot of issues. I'm going to make a lot of money on this one. This is great. It's a gold mine. So you and I were talking, and I thought maybe it'd be interesting to mention this a little bit, because I didn't tell you, and you kind of picked up on it, and I thought it was interesting. But we had talked before, and I don't know if you remember our chat the other night, mm-hmm. about my previous time on the planet. And this has only become clear to me in the last few years. I went through most of my life thinking, I have no idea, no idea.
Yeah.
And only in the last few years have I been drawn to two different times. You were telling me something about the Civil War, weren't you? Do you remember that? And you felt that I lived in the South, didn't you?
Yes.
And did you feel that I was a soldier?
I did.
Hmm. And I'm guessing I probably got blown away.
I see a bayonet.
Ouch.
And you were a young man. You were like 18, 20.
Okay. And I got done in with a bayonet, you're saying?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Hmm.
A lot of, there was a lot of right. one-on-one combat during that time frame, and you were right in the thick of it.
You know, I can't say that I feel a lot of trauma from that time period.
You were a warrior before, so battle was something that you were very familiar with.
So you're saying as when I was a Native American, which was my last time, which I really felt more recently, and that's something you picked up on, mm-hmm. and what time period does that go back to?
Well, I feel you were Indian more than in one lifetime, and but the latest was probably 1700s.
Okay, because that's, to be honest with anybody listening right now, and I don't know why this hit me. Well, I think I do, But only in the last 5 years or so have I really felt strongly that I lived in that time period. So for you to pick up on that, and we hadn't talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had talked to somebody that they call a channeler in Marquette years ago. And I asked them about my last native life. And they told me it was out west, which for some reason I have this great connection. Well, I think I know why, to out west, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that I went by the name of Roaming Buffalo. And I don't know if that's anything you pick up on, but it was in the 1700s. Now, there's no way that this person knew. I just asked them, when was my last time as a Native American? And boom, they picked that out. And in my heart. And now you say that as well.
Yes.
Do you know what, can you pick up an area that I might have been in?
I pick up Colorado.
Oh, no kidding. See, you know what? I really feel that too. There's something about being out there.
Sedona area.
What is it called?
Sedona.
Sedona as well, Arizona?
Sedona. The Sedona area in Colorado.
Oh, there's a Sedona, Colorado.
I mean, excuse me. I see red rocks.
Sedona, Arizona.
Yes.
No kidding.
That may have been, because you were an Indian in more than one life, so it's mushing together for me here.
So wouldn't you say, though, that if like you're a native in the past, you kind of would have been a warrior somewhat? I mean, if you wouldn't have been a basket weaver, I mean, not too many native guys probably, yeah, I was a basket weaver as a native. I mean, that's kind of a...
Well, you could have been also a hunter for food.
Again.
You could have been a woman that grows things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could have been any variety of an Indian and at different levels. But your main thing was a warrior. You like to protect others.
Mm-hmm. You know what? That's so true. My whole life, I've always stood up for other people.
Mm-hmm.
That was really none of my business. You know, and I always felt bad for people that were being picked on by others.
Right.
More than once, I've actually got in a fight, and I got my clock cleaned one time by a kid that was a lot bigger than me because he was picking on some other kids. And I said, I'm going to stand up for them.
Yeah, well, that's what you do. That's part of who you are.
Hmm. Is there anything, and we'll move on from this because this is not about me, is there anything that I need to know?
Anything that you personally need to know?
Anything I need to know or let go of or some kind of message or anything that you're picking up on, if you don't mind, Teresa.
No, I don't. Keep fighting the fight.
No kidding.
Keep letting people know what the truth is out there.
Hmm. Now, would you...
You have the means to do that, and you need to take advantage of it.
Kind of like I'm doing now.
Yes, you have a large voice. You have, you know, and you are not afraid to speak the truth when you know it.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Wow. I'm amazed, Teresa. And I'm not just saying that. I would say, you know, for $30 for a half hour, you probably could learn a lot, couldn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, you probably could.
So for a $30 investment, you... can email Teresa. I'm sorry, could you give me that email address again, please?
Teresa is spelled Theresa
mm-hmm.
at Grigsby
mm-hmm.
at sbcglobal.net.
Okay. I wrote it down, but this pen is really lousy, so it kind of faded. SBC Globe. That's what it says over here. What else? I mean, when you live your life every day, do you get caught up in things like most of us do?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, we're all here to learn our lessons. I am part of that as well. And I've learned many, many things, and I'm still learning. I think, you know, if you allow it, you will learn until the day you die.
Mm.
There's always something to learn, to grow from, you know. And that's the beauty of it. We can make as many mistakes as we want, but we can always come back and try to fix it later. And if we don't, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do the best you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God's not looking down at anybody. God is nothing but pure love. We bring ourselves down here to learn what we need to learn and go through what we have to go through to perfect ourselves and our souls.
You know, I really like that perception that you're talking about, because just recently I had a what I would call a visitation from my mom, and she came to me with a horse, which looked like our horse, and there was also a squirrel, which I have no idea what that, maybe that means I'm nutty, and the squirrel was meant for me, and the horse might have been meant for my brother, but she was just smiling and totally healthy, and I've never had a dream like this before, and projecting love that was so powerful.
Yeah.
It felt like I was standing next to a radiator, but instead of heat, it was all love.
Was the horse white?
The horse was almost, it was kind of whitish, but almost beige, and it kind of reminded me of the horse we used to have.
Okay.
So it was just not long ago. It was actually the 26th of October, and her birthday was on the 29th, and she just had this big, joyful smile.
Because she's letting you know how proud she is of you for the work that you're doing.
Hmm. Really?
And she's watching over you. Mm-hmm. And it's your journey in life.
It is my journey. I truly believe that. As you probably believe this is your journey, right?
Yes.
And it took you a long time to discover that, didn't it?
Oh, yes. I fought it, you know, and that has to do with past life stuff that I was holding on to. So once I really, really realized that I was not in control and that God is there for me, and I resigned myself to the fact that I was here to help others, once I figured out I needed to help myself first, and once I was able to heal myself, it was very easy for me to know that that's what I needed to help others with.
Hmm. And that's the reward in itself, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, when you what you give out, you get back tenfold.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm guessing this is the same with you, Teresa. People say, oh, thank you for doing this. Thank you for helping me. And it's like, I don't do it for recognition. I don't do it for appreciation. I just do it because my heart feels like doing it.
I do it because I know that there's a need. And whoever is open to that need and they want to heal themselves. Because, you know, we're all wounded out here, you know.
Mm.
We're all walking around as wounded adults. From not only our childhood past, but from our past from other lives.
Mm.
And we're here to figure out how to overcome that and heal from our wounds so that we can live happy, productive, normal lives. And that's all everybody's goal.
And this is just one place, isn't it?
Yes.
And this is not our true form, is it?
This is not our true form. This is not our true home. Our true home is up with God, which is actually a duplicate of this earth. Our true home is positive, and earth is our negative home, and that's why we come down here to learn how to overcome our negativities.
Hmm. And become better beings, huh?
That's the true rub right there, trying to overcome what it is we have to deal with.
Hmm. Very interesting, Teresa. I don't want to keep you too long. I know you're on your lunch break. You probably have about 2 more minutes, I'm guessing, right?
Probably, yes.
But I would absolutely love to talk more on this because it's just really interesting to me and hopefully helpful to others.
I hope so, too. And I, you know, this is my love. This is what I know. I mean, it comes natural to me, and I just ask God to always love and guide me through whatever it is I have to let others know. And when you approach things in a loving aspect, you're always going to get positive results.
I agree with you. I really, and you see that. And people that are phony or not from that aspect, they're weeded out pretty quickly. So those that are afraid, you can tell the difference. At least I believe I can. Who knows? Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, there's either fear or love.
Mm-hmm.
That's where most people operate, out of fear or love. There's nothing in between. And unfortunately, a lot of us operate out of fear because that's all we know.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing how once you get past fear, boy, the doors just open up, isn't it?
Oh, my heavens, they do. Mm. They really do. And trust in God. is huge. You know, everybody, if you have that fear, then you're not really trusting in God.
Mm-hmm.
Because God is there to to let us know that we don't want for anything, but it's our fear that holds us back.
Mm, that's a good point. And on that note, I'm going to let you run, and we're going to do this again, I hope you don't mind, fairly soon.
Oh, no, I would love to.
Teresa Grigsby, thank you so much.
Oh, you are very welcome. Thank you for calling me.
Music on Out There, created by Kevin MacLeod.